Just as the Norse settlers of Greenland brought over the cultural values of their Norwegian homeland, so too did the British settlers of Australia carry British cultural values. Some of those imported cultural values proved inappropriate to the Australian environment, and some of those inappropriate values continue to have legacies today. Five sets of cultural values were particularly important: those involving sheep, rabbits and foxes, native Australian vegetation, land values, and British identity. In the 18th century, Britain produced little wool itself, but instead imported it from Spain and Saxony. Those sources of wool were cut off during the Napoleonic Wars, raging during the first decades of British settlement in Australia. Britain's King George III was particularly interested in this problem, and with his support, the British succeeded in smuggling merino sheep from Spain into Britain, and then sending some to Australia to become the founders of Australia's wool flock. Australia evolved into Britain's main source of wool. Today, a significant fraction of all food-producing land in Australia is still used for sheep. Sheep farming is ingrained into Australia's cultural identity, and rural voters, whose livelihood depends on sheep, are disproportionately influential in Australian politics. But the appropriateness of Australian land for sheep is deceptive. While it initially supported lush grass, its soil productivity was very low, so the sheep farmers were, in effect, mining the land's fertility. Australia's existing sheep industry is a money-losing proposition, and its legacy is ruinous land degradation through overgrazing. Whereas introduced sheep have undoubtedly been of great economic benefit as well as harm to Australia, introduced rabbits and foxes have been unmitigated disasters. British colonists found Australia's environment alien and wanted to be surrounded by familiar European plants and animals. Hence, they attempted to introduce many European bird species, only two of which, the house sparrow and starling, became widespread. At least those introduced bird species have not done much harm, while Australia's rabbits and plague numbers cause enormous economic damage and land degradation by consuming about half of the pasture vegetation that would otherwise have been available to sheep and cattle. The combination of introduced rabbits and introduced foxes has been a major cause of the extinctions or population crashes of most species of small native Australian mammals. Foxes prey on them, and rabbits compete with native herbivorous mammals for food. European rabbits and foxes were introduced to Australia almost simultaneously. It is unclear whether foxes were introduced first to permit traditional British fox hunting, then rabbits introduced later to provide additional food for the foxes, or whether rabbits were introduced first for hunting or to make the countryside look more like Britain, and then foxes introduced later to control the rabbits. In any case, both have been such expensive disasters that it now seems incredible that they were introduced for such trivial reasons. Even more incredible are the efforts to which Australians went to establish rabbits. The first four attempts failed, and not until wild Spanish rabbits were used for the fifth attempt did success follow. Ever since those rabbits and foxes did become established and Australians realized the consequences, they have been trying to eliminate or reduce their populations. The war against foxes involves poisoning or trapping them. One method in the war against rabbits, memorable to all non-Australians who saw the recent film Rabbit Proof Fence, is to divide up the landscape by long fences and attempt to eliminate rabbits from one side of the fence. Farmer Bill McIntosh told me how he makes a map of his property to mark the locations of every one of its thousands of rabbit burrows, which he destroys individually with a bulldozer. He then returns to a burrow later, and if it shows any first sign of rabbit activity, he drops dynamite down the burrow. In this laborious way, he has destroyed 3,000 rabbit burrows. Such expensive measures led Australians several decades ago to place great hopes in introducing a rabbit disease called myxomatosis, which initially did reduce the population by over 90%, until rabbits became resistant and rebounded. Current efforts to control rabbits are using another microbe called the callici virus. Just as British colonists felt uncomfortable amidst Australia's strange-looking kangaroos and friar birds, they also felt uncomfortable among Australia's eucalyptus and acacia trees. Settlers cleared the land of vegetation partly because they didn't like its appearance, but also for agriculture. Until about 20 years ago, the Australian government not only subsidized land clearance but actually required it of leaseholders. Much agricultural land in Australia is not owned outright by farmers, but is owned by the government and leased to farmers. The ecological economist Mike Young, whose job for the Australian government now includes the task of figuring out how much land has been rendered worthless by land clearance, told me of his childhood memories of clearing land with his father on their family farm. Mike and his father would each drive a tractor, the two tractors advancing in parallel and connected by a chain, with the chain dragging over the ground to remove native vegetation and replace it with crops, in return for which his father received a big tax deduction. Without that deduction provided by the government as an incentive, much of the land would never have been cleared. As settlers arrived in Australia and began buying or leasing land from each other or from the government, land prices were set according to values prevailing back home in England, and justified there by the returns that could be obtained from England's productive soils. In Australia, that has meant that land is overcapitalized. That is, it sells or leases for more than can be justified by the financial returns from agricultural use of the land. When a farmer then buys or leases land and takes out a mortgage, the need to pay the interest on that high mortgage pressures the farmer to try to extract more profit from the land than it could sustainably yield. Land overcapitalization resulting from British cultural values has been a major contributor to the Australian practice of overstocking, which has led to overgrazing, soil erosion, and farmer bankruptcies and abandonments.